Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Broadcasting live from the third largest city in Oregon, known as Eugene, also known as the hay fever capital of the world, it's me, Robin, there, Cliff, on the other side of the... Where are you on the other side of?
We're in the 25th largest city in the world, or in Eugene, whether you're in whatever the heck is Oregon. That's what this is.
Oh.
I don't know for sure. We're pretty small. I mean, as compared to Eugene.
In the remote studio in Cottage Grove, broadcasting live in this beautiful,
I only think I'm live today. I think my body is prepared to be not live today. I'll tell you, it's prepared to sit down and rest. I don't know why I'm so tired.
Yeah, I am stupid because I'm not at the retirement age yet. In either case, speaking of retirement, let's get these people out of retirement. And Cliff, how would they do that?
You're pretty close to being retirement age.
That doesn't mean I can retire.
646-721-9887. And that's easy to remember, 646-721-9887. But if you go to Skype, you can come in and join us on Skype. And that's real easy to do, too. So just why not just do that? Just anybody can go to Skype. I mean, there are a few people who don't know how to get to Skype on your computer, but I don't think very many people don't know how to get to Skype.
Yeah, if you have a Skype account, then just go to our webpage, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and click on the Skype button, and you can...
You have to have a Skype account? Do I have a Skype account?
Yes, you do.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yes. What'd you find out?
I didn't do anything to get a Skype account, did I? I must have.
Yeah, you signed up for it, then you stuck your picture on it, and you went through the whole process.
That's true. I did that a long time ago, and I don't remember it.
That's right. You know, that's one of the second signs of...
I'm long past the second sign. I can't remember what it is yesterday. And the busy part of the whole thing is I don't care.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the advantage about getting older. 646-721-9887, and lots of frustrating things going on in the news, and again, the continued debunkle, which we're going to get into a little bit of a debate on as we started to do the show before the show, and we decided, wait a minute, we're doing the show again before the show, and we decided we'd stop and do the show during the show instead of before the show.
We do this all the time. We get going.
Not to repeat any of that.
Yeah. Well, what we're talking about is something that's interesting enough that I don't have to repeat it. I'll think of it again. We're talking about the kids across the border.
Kids across the border.
And it's not just kids either, by the way.
No. That's one of the misnomers that they're saying is that, you know, it's thousands of children coming without their parents. I haven't seen one video yet of kids that don't have some adult with them. Usually it's their mothers or something like that.
Well, it depends on what you consider adult. when you're watching, when you're looking at the pictures of these kids coming across the border, a lot of the adults that you're looking at are actually kids. I mean, these kids are,
well, yeah,
are 14 years old, and they look and act like adults because they grow up a lot faster in these other countries than kids do here. 14-year-olds are, well, what was it? I was looking at, watching television today. 5-year-olds are working.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? I know how to solve that problem.
Okay.
All they have to do is send them a bunch of reruns of My Little Pony.
My Little Pony?
Yes.
I don't know My Little Pony, so I'm blissfully ignorant.
And you are very lucky because I unfortunately have seen it. Yeah, it's one of those programs that's supposed to, everything's all wonderful and all we need is friendship and everything's happy and you're just a beautiful person and don't worry about getting having kids until you're about 45. So you're fun.
That'll make sure everybody comes here. That'll just destroy the entire system right there with no problem at all. My Little Pony, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. I have not seen My Little Pony, I don't think. I'm not interested in seeing it anyway. But that's interesting. Yeah. My Little Pony. The thing is, we've got... See, we in the United States don't realize what other people... how other people live. And we're finding maybe a little bit about this, not much even, because when we bring them to the United States, we want to convert them instantly to being Americans and treat them like Americans. And they aren't like Americans. I mean, like I say, there are kids in this world, and a lot of them, not just some of them, at 5 years old that have permanent jobs, have full-time jobs that are supporting their families. And at 5 years, 6 years, 7 years old, that's ridiculous. But that's what's happening in the rest of the world, not what's happening.
You and I both used to work when we were that age, but now you're not allowed to by law.
Well, I never worked, I don't think, at 5 years old or 7 years old. I was
What? Did you pick berries?
No, I didn't.
I did.
I didn't get started at picking berries or into the things of picking berries. Because, you see, I didn't pick berries. I don't want to say this. We bought the berry patch when I was like 14, and so I didn't pick berries until then. Before that, the only berry picking or anything like that I did was out in my own yard and for ourselves. And there I mostly ate berries. Not many of them got back to the house. So.
Well, I mean, you can't do that nowadays, but yeah, I did strawberries and beans and, oh, my God.
Well, I know that. That's
the rhubarb.
That's a little upsetting that we see, that's the thing. We've changed things so much in our country, and some of it's, you know, I understand it's probably some do-gooder that's sitting at home and saying, well, you know, children should not be required to pick berries or shouldn't be required to do this or that or the other. And I understand, and they're trying to be, what, not kind necessarily, but trying not to be abusive to the kids. But in reality, I think they are being abusive to the kids. They're not allowing them to do things that they should be allowed to do. How are you supposed to learn about finances? How are you supposed to learn about holding a job and getting a job if you can't do it? And
getting back to your point, you know, about like a simulation and whatever about people coming over here, not expecting them to, they're going to have to.
Okay, now I lost the point of that.
Well, the point is we're talking about, you know, like all the kids coming over here. And what are you going to do with them? And, you know, you just can't expect them to become Americans. No, it's called, you know, you're coming into a foreign country. We do expect you to assimilate into our culture and not the other way around.
Oh, assimilate.
Assimilate.
Yeah, not assimilate.
No, it's simulation versus assimilation.
Well, it isn't the same word at all.
No.
Similarly. But the point is, you don't expect them to do that. You've got to teach them to do that. That's something they can't learn by themselves overnight. That's
no, nobody wants them to.
But the point is, we've got to find something to do with them when they come here. I mean, we've got thousands and thousands. I mean, we've had 50,000 kids come to the United States in the last 5 or 6 months, and we've got thousands more coming every day. And it's not just from Mexico. They're coming from every place south.
Right.
I mean, all the different countries. And I know what I was going to do. I was going to look up and see how much of a problem, for example, that Mexico has with immigrants coming to Mexico. They're just passing them along, I think. But they, I'm sure, have problems with them. And other countries have problems with it. Any country that's halfway affluent, that's near a country that isn't, I'm sure it's got major problems with the same thing.
Well, that's the question that's being asked is, how does such large numbers actually go through Mexico without Mexican authorities doing something about it, especially, like you say, when they're not from Mexico, they're from Guatemala and El Salvador and other southern countries. You know, they're going through there in masses, but how are they doing it without Mexican authorities stopping them?
Why would Mexican authorities stop them?
Because they had to enter Mexico illegally to get through.
But Mexico knows good and well that they're not there to stay, that they're only on their way through. So why not help them?
That's my point.
Okay.
It's a soft invasion of the United States, and we're too dumbfounded to do anything about it.
Well, and the thing is, I don't think we're dumbfounded. I think we're especially since we're waking up and catching on to the whole idea, we've still got to, again, I say we've got a lot of money that's in other countries overseas, and we've got a lot of people and equipment, et cetera, that's overseas that needs to come home and worry about our borders before we worry about other people's borders. We've got our own problems on the borders to worry about, and we've got to do something about. And we could handle this. This is not something we can't handle. It's not something that we're up in arms about. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We know what to do, and we've just got to do it. But what?
Send them home.
No, that's not an answer. That's not an answer. First of all, they're just going to turn around and come back again. We know that. They're not going to stay home. They're not stupid, and they're not and they are. The thing is, they're young, and they're resilient, and they can keep doing this over and over and over again if we want to. So we're not going to accomplish anything by just sending them back home. That isn't a possibility, or isn't even a thought to do. We've got to do something about accommodating them, and how do we accommodate them? I mean, do we?
Well, where does it stop? I mean, look how many you've got coming in so far. At some point, you got to say, you know, enough is enough. I mean, we're already, the border patrol agents are already saying they're running out of money to do their job because it's draining the resources so bad.
Well, that's what we've got to do. We've got to give them some money. I mean, we can't, we've got to take money from somewhere else if necessary, but we've got to supply the money and supply the facilities to let them do their job. I mean, this is not something that's going to go away.
But what's their job? Their job to take them in, house them, and feed them, and then send them on buses and ship them over to Arizona, California, and other places in the interior? Or are you just...
Maybe that is their job.
Or do you feel like...
Maybe if it isn't, it should be.
It should be. Do we also do like here's a headline, too. TSA is allowing illegals to fly without verifiable ID, and they're talking about on commercial aircraft.
Well, we don't need to give up all of our rules and all of our laws because of it, but we just need to make a position for them. In other words, we don't just put them on airplanes and ship them someplace with no kind of identification or no legalization at all, we at least need to put it sounds so terrible when I say that we need to put a...
We need to close our borders and enforce the laws.
How? You can't do that.
Why?
You can't do that. How do you close the border?
Well, first of all, we had the approval to put that fence up there. That
you can't put a fence up there. That's stupid.
Okay.
There's no possible way you can put a fence up.
But how the hell are we going to defend our own country if we can't even defend our borders?
You can't defend your border by putting a fence up. You can't put a...
To do whatever you do to keep these people out, because it's not just women and children coming through. It's anybody can come through, and the world knows that.
So you need to deal with them. You need to deal with them. You don't need to just shove them away and say, to hell with you, go away, come back another day, because you haven't accomplished anything. You've got to do something about it. And putting a fence up is not an answer. You can't put a fence up. It's too. How do you put a fence up? I mean, first of all, they'd come around the fence and swim around it and come in from the sides. They're not just all coming in from the south. I mean, they're coming in from all directions. As far as,
and I've seen pictures where they've actually taken and tried to, they built structures where they're actually driving vehicles over the fence and stuff. But still, we have the technology, and we have the manpower to do it. The whole point is that our borders are we're so vulnerable to attack and this soft invasion that's happening right now. There's got to be a point that we got to stand up and take it serious.
That's right. That's what we need to do. We need to stand up and decide what to do with them. Putting a fence up is not possible. You say we have the technology. We don't have the technology to put a fence up. You can't put a fence up that turns.
I mean, do we just stand around and just go, oh, my God, we got 50,000 kids that came in across the border last month with some of their parents and stuff. Oh, geez, who knows who else came in, what other diseases we have, and just kind of roll over backwards and let anybody who wants to come here, as some people are saying, just open the damn border. Let anybody come in.
You do that. You do open the border. The border is open. Whether you like it or not, the border is open. There's nothing you can do about it. So consequently, when they do come in here, you've got to decide how to handle them, how to work with them.
If our borders are open, as you say, then why don't we let's just lay everybody off in the military. Screw it. Why do we need a constitution?
Don't be absurd. Don't be absurd. You don't do anything of that. You use the people and the facilities we have. You don't use them to try to build a fence, because that is not possible. So consequently, you use all of these military people and all these other people that are there, the border guards, the border people, to build buildings and you house them temporarily, and you decide what to do with them.
Yeah, then what do you do with them? We got them here. We're taking up colleges, colleges that are closed down, schools that are closed down. We're sending them over to California, where the people are starting to stand up and say, not here, guys. What are you going to do with all these people? And they keep coming and coming and coming until you shut the gate.
What gate? You keep thinking, you keep acting like there's a big fence down there, there's a big gate down there. There's no way you can do that. You cannot do that. I mean, even if you could build a fence all the way across 20,000 miles or whatever the hell it is, you couldn't get the people would swim around it. They wouldn't stop. They're coming here.
You have to take away the carrot. Things have to be, because right now the world thinks that you send the kids over here thanks to Mr. Obama. Once you get onto this side, you're just going to be bused to wherever it is and you're safe. And then pretty soon, because some of the parents or some of the mothers are coming over, and pretty soon it's going to say, well, people are going to start shouting, we can't separate the families. We need to bring the rest of the families over here, too.
We're already shouting that.
Exactly.
We're stupid. I mean, the point is, there's got to be a point where you don't treat them with kid gloves. You finally just give them a place to go or something to do, put them to work, whatever. But the thing... What?
Send them home.
You can't send them home.
They made the choice to come over here.
You can't send them home. How are you going to do that? You got 50,000 people there. What are you going to do, to put out 5,000 buses and send them back? No, that's not going to work, because by the time the first bus has got back here empty again, they're going to be filling it up with the same set of people as it like the first time. They're going to be back there already again.
All right. Let me ask you this. What's the population of Cottage Grove?
10,000.
10,000. Okay, the people that have already came over here already outnumbered the population of Cottage Grove by about five times.
That's why we need to work with them. That's why we need to do something on the border. We need to send them to different places. We don't need to send them all to one place. I mean,
They're already shipped. Like I said, they're shipping them to Arizona. They're shipping them to Texas. They're shipping them to California.
First of all, you stop shipping them to the border states because they've already got enough there without having to ship them there.
Well, you
California, Texas. What?
You bring them into the interior?
Yes.
Why?
Why not? Why? It's empty there. You've got whole damn states in the middle of the country with nobody there.
Like I said, they chose to come over here. They are uninvited. We have laws that we as a sovereign nation have laws to decide who and if and even if we want people to come here.
You seem to think we can impose our laws on other countries. We can't.
We're imposing our laws on ourselves. We're telling these people, just like you can't go into Mexico. You go to Mexico, you get shot or you get arrested or whatever. They enforce their laws.
Then why aren't we?
That's the question. Why aren't we?
Well, because we are humanitarians. We are not stupid like that.
Stupid.
We wouldn't shoot people before, you know, because we'd have to find some place to bury them. We'd have to find some place to put them. We'd have dead people all over the border. We'd have them just laying there. I mean, you can't do that. That's not even sanitary. That's ridiculous.
So we're going to allow a whole army of kids to come in.
So the first thing we do is build big buildings. We need to build buildings to house them, to decide what to do with them, to categorize them, you know, how, by age group or by intelligence, by education, whatever you want to categorize them by. But you need to put them in some place to keep them there and take care of them. We need to come up with the...
How long do you take care of them? For the rest of your life?
That's what I was just going to say. We need to train some people first to work with these kids or these, and it's not just kids, remember. But anyway, we need to train people to work with them and find out what they want and what they want to do, and help them with it, because let's face it, our country was founded on people coming from somewhere else, and they came in huge numbers at one time or another, and so consequently, whether we like it or not, we're back at this point, and. We need to give them experience. In other words,
we don't need to give them anything. Because here's the thing is, okay, you got 50,000 children coming across the border, some with their parents or their mothers at least. What about the rest of the family? You know these kids came from somewhere. What are you supposed to do with that? I mean, the whole point was, you know, is to turn them around, send them home, send them back to their families, and let them realize that you are not staying here. And that
they are staying here. They'll be back again in a week. They're not going to go away.
You arrest them. You put them in jail. Because once you're deported, once you're here illegally, the first time it's a misdemeanor. When you come back once you're deported, it is a felony. It's about time that we forcing our laws, especially...
Okay. I said we should build buildings and to house them in and to work with them. I'll go your way. We'll build jails because we're going to have to build something. We don't have that much facilities for them down there, whether we like it or not. Then we'll build jails and we'll go from there and we'll start at a different joint.
Maybe they'll think twice about going, okay, if I come here, I know I'm going to get deported, and if I come back, I'm going to jail.
But jail here is better than there. Let's face it. Why do you think they left?
And then again, what's going on there is not our problem.
That doesn't make any difference. It is our problem now. It is our problem now.
Well, yeah, that's they came over here and we allowed it.
We can't stop it. We cannot stop it. These kids, these people are starving to death. That's why they're coming here.
There's some humanitarian aid over there. We do that. We send lots of countries aid. Help them over there in their homeland. Don't send them over here.
If we had done enough of that, if we were doing enough of that, they wouldn't be coming here. If life was livable where they were, if life was bearable where they were, they wouldn't come here. That's a lot of work. You got to figure out, here's a 12-year-old kid that's going to travel 2,000 miles to get here. That's not easy to do.
You know, and he can do that by himself. You know, so the families just didn't say, okay, children, go away. You know, they didn't all. That many kids, they did not do it by themselves. And you know, that many kids just didn't get together one time in the schoolyard and just go, hey, guys, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's go invade a country.
Well, first of all, they're not coming in big groups. They're coming in ones and twos and threes. They're coming in small groups. They're just evolving.
By the parade.
What?
If you've seen some of the videos, they're coming in massive numbers, you know, in large numbers, literally busloads, over to the border.
Well, you're watching different pictures than I'm watching, but the thing is, you can't stop them. You're not going to be able to stop them. If somebody's paying for all this, then that's a little different story. Some of those you can stop because they're not going to keep paying for them over and over and over again. But any way you look at it,
can't you stop the kids? How are you going to stop anybody else coming in? If I'm a terrorist over there in Al-Qaeda or whatever, and I'm going, well, you know, if a 5-year-old kid or 15-year-old kid can walk nilly-willy across the border into the United States, hey, guys, let's just send our kids over there, and we'll get enough people over there and hit the button for the sleeper cells, and we're all scattered all over the place. We'll just take over the place with hardly even firing a shot, and these guys are too stupid to realize they've been invaded.
Well, that's a possibility, but that's why I say we've got to make accommodations for them. We've got to put them into something that works. We've got to be at least humanitarian enough that we know that they're being taken care of and being helped, and that's what will stop them from...
Ship them to an overseas embassy, then.
You can't do that.
Why?
Where would they put them?
Who cares?
I don't. They're going to send them back. That's who cares. They're going to send them right straight back to us.
Then tattoo something on that says no deposit, no return.
Then that ain't going to accomplish anything either. We put that on bottles and they don't do anything. It just doesn't accomplish anything. You've got to do something to work with these people. These are human beings and they've got to be helped out. And we've got to do something. We're going to have to spend a huge amount of money, whether you like it or not. We're going to have to spend a huge amount of money, and we're not doing that yet. And we keep talking about, oh, God, it's going to cost us billions of dollars. That's right. It's going to cost us billions of dollars, and we're going to have to be prepared to spend it. And we're going to have to...
Billions of dollars is, like you said, they want to take and house them, feed them, and take care of them for who knows how long. They're saying right now that the courts are overwhelmed. You know, they're providing them lawyers and everything to make sure that the, quote-unquote, refugees are really refugees. Again, what do you do with them?
In the first place, we need to come up with a different system. We all know that the system that we're going through, this courts and all this crap, is just absurd. That's absurd. You can't handle these people that way. You've got to...
Ellis Island was originally, it was a way for people to come here, and there is a way for people to come here legally. I'm sorry it costs money and effort and whatever, and like I said, we have a choice to even not allow you to come into this country. That's the whole point of Ellis Island, was to go through and to screen these people, and we've turned away people at Ellis Island. Not everybody is welcome in the United States here. That is the system we have currently set up. If you don't like it, I'm sorry that this is our country, not yours.
Okay.
If you want to come here, you're welcome, but come through the front door and go through the process. Do not come through the window.
Well, then obviously you're not welcome, because not everybody is welcome to come through the front door, and that's the problem.
And that's our choice. We are a sovereign nation.
Well, it's not our choice. You can't stop them.
You cannot.
How? You cannot stop them. They'll be back again. You can send them back until hell freezes over, but they're going to be coming back again. You cannot stop them. All you've got to do is make a room for them, make accommodations for them, do something for them once they're here. You can't stop them. That's ridiculous.
You're not going to stop them by doing the catch and release like a fisherman. Like I said, we have laws in place. Come here, you get processed, you're out, you come back, you go to jail.
And so we're going to have to build jails.
We build jails.
Okay. So whether we build jails and put them in jail, or whether we build buildings and house them for a while until we find out what to do with them, one way or another, whether we find out, wait, and decide what to do with them in jail or what, it's we're going to have to find build that amount of buildings, which is going to be a huge amount of buildings, and we're going to have to find something to do with them. Now, you know, whether we gather them up and put them in jail when they arrive, you know, everybody that arrives here, we'll put them in jail. As I say, jail in our country is better than the life they lived before. When you're sitting down there in South America someplace, sleeping on the ground and eating nothing half of the time, it's better to live in a jail here. And that's what they'll decide.
That may be. But the point is that right now it's just, you know, the impression is, come over here, you get free food, you get this, that, and the other thing, and you're even getting more in some cases than people that are supposed to be here.
That's why we've got to change that. That's why we've got to work with them, and that's why we've got to build these jails or buildings or whatever you want to call it, and that's why we've got to decide how to work with them. We're just not doing this. We're not making any sense with what we do. We're just sitting here crying about it instead of doing something about it. We've got to do something about it. And sending them back isn't an option. It's just not going to happen because they're going to, like I say, you get 50 busloads of them, and by the time you get the 50th busload back, the first busload is coming back across again. So they're not going to stay wherever you're sending them. And they've done it before. They can do it again. It's just not going to happen. And consequently, you know, we're going to lose. There's going to be some attrition because some of them are going to, in the process of coming back again, they're going to die. You know, that's fine. Do we want that on our hands and on our conscience too?
Well, like I said, we created the problem as a government by not enforcing our laws. It's already gotten out of hand because of, you know, people coming over here with their kids at a very young age and created that boondoggle. Now we said a thing about where anybody can come over here now and they, with the promise of amnesty, that especially with the kids, because the dreamers or whatever you want to call it, and so they're sending their children over here, some with parents, their mothers and whatever. And, you know, sooner or later, the rest of the family is going to get here as well, and we're going to be screaming, oh, we can't separate the families, so we got to bring everybody over here. And then the America as we know it is going to be gone, and we got invaded without anybody firing a shot, unless you count the...
America as we know it is over anyway.
And you're okay with that?
Well, you don't have any choice. You just have to work with it, and you're not willing to work with it. You just want to send them back. You got to work with it. This is America is a changing thing. You know, America is nothing like it was 50 years ago, and it's nothing like it's going to be 50 years from now. And we've got to acknowledge that fact and do something about it. We've got to live with it. We've got to figure out what to do with it. And we're not going to accomplish anything with it at all if we're just going to, you know, send them back and let them come back over again and keep going that round robin thing. That isn't going to accomplish anything. We've got to come up with a way to help them. And whether maybe we need to bring them up and bring them into the United States and teach them how to do something and then send them back to
that's
be...
a good idea. When you got 11-plus million people here, teach them how to defend their own country and send them back home and let them make their own homes a better place.
How to defend their own country. It's how to fend for themselves. You need to teach them how to plant and how to grow and how to do things and then give them the ability to do that. I mean, you're not even thinking possibly of...
I'm thinking of these people are fleeing from their own country instead of doing something about it, just like in a sense we're doing right now by allowing anybody to come over here.
And we're doing right now by sending them back again. We're not doing anything.
People are starting to stand up and say, hey, guys... As Obama has said many times, you know, I got a phone and a pen, and I, you know, and he doesn't have to follow the Constitution. Well, as more and more people are starting to ask, is why do we have to? If we have lawlessness in our executive branch and all this is being dumped on us, you know, people are starting to say and stand up with arms and say, no, this is our country. We're not giving it away.
Well, he, you know what he can, I'll tell you what he can do with his phone and his pen, because he's not going to accomplish a thing. He can sit there and write all kinds of laws and until hell freezes over, and it's not going to stop anybody. They're not even going to know about the laws in most instances. So they're just going to keep on coming, because that's the way it is. We've got to do something at the border to do something for them, not with them, for them. We've got to do something with them. And then you're right. We've got to do something to, first of all, administer the laws in our country. We've got so many laws that we don't follow. We're giving people jobs that don't need jobs. We're giving, you know, there's reasons that people come here because they think they can work. And the reason they think they can work is because they can. And they have been able to in the past. And so consequently, they're going to keep on coming. So we've got to do something about our own laws and about our own rules and regulations before we can worry about keeping anybody out. I mean, it's a combination of things that we've got to do, and it's going to cost billions of dollars, and we're going to have to be just set on our ways to spend that money. We're $2 billion, $3 billion, that's nothing. We spend more of that money in Egypt, for example, or someplace in military. We've got to bring some of these military back here, keep small amounts of people in these other small and other countries, and start worrying about ourselves. I mean, this is we're going to, like you say, sit around on our dead ass, and the entire country is going to get lost around us, and we're not going to do anything about it because we don't think about it. We just get rid of them.
Well, when we do try to think about it, like Arizona, for example, all Arizona wanted to do was just enforce the law. And the feds came out and said, no, we reserve the right to enforce the law. And
okay, I understand there. And our, that's what I'm talking about is our federal government.
Right.
We need to have our federal government wake up and do things like they were human beings. We've got a bunch of idiots in the federal government, in the feds. I mean, nobody thinks about this as to what to do. They just everybody's just thinking about it the way you're talking about it. Let's just send them back. Let's not allow them in. You have to allow them in. You're not allowing them in. They're coming in, whether you allow it or not.
So how do you fix it?
You fix it by, once they're here, you put them in some sort of a building or house them and work with them and decide what they want to do. And some of them, I'm sure you can teach them or help them and send them back to where they come from to be.
You estimated 130,000 children coming over across the border this year. What are you supposed to do with them?
Well, first of all, they don't.
You control 130,000 kids.
First of all, they don't come over all at once. Okay, you don't have 130,000 of them walking in and say hi, because they just don't do that. They come over a few every day.
What's your question of a few? One or two? Five or ten?
Even if it's 5 or 10 or 20 or whatever it is, you've got
6,000 that have come over the border in the last couple months. That's not one or two.
Well,
6,000. That's one-third the population of Eugene.
It doesn't make any difference how much the population is. You've got to work around. You know, we've been sitting here, and we ignore the fact that we have rules and laws in this country that we are not acknowledging. We're not making use of them, and consequently, that's going to be our major fallback right there. And then the second thing is we've got to make facilities for them, and we aren't doing that. We're just talking about sending them back and accomplishing something. How many buses have we used down there? I mean, you can't put out enough buses to house those people. You've got to do something and help them. I mean, this is something that we're in a, it's not a like it or not, it's not a thing where you can just ignore it. You've got to help these people. And like it or not, you're going to have to do something, whether some states like it or don't like it. Maybe Arizona and Wyoming and some of these states with small populations, they need to have their populations increased. You don't need to put them in California and Texas, the border states, because they're already coming there by themselves. So you need to find a place to house them and put them away and help them. And we've got to spend the thousands of dollars on them. I mean, like it or not, we're going to have to spend huge money.
So you're going to come up with Japanese internment camps, basically, for them?
No, I'm not. I guess however you want to call that, because they would be for a short period of time until we figure out what to do. But no, you send them to Wyoming in the middle of nowhere and let them farm and build farms and
that's slave labor.
That's fine.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can.
That's a cry you're going to hear. That's slave labor. You can't put these kids to work.
Yes, you can.
We can't even put our own kids to work.
That's where we've got to change some laws. That's where we've got to wake up and die right and wake up and smell the roses and find out that we've boxed ourselves in with our own laws to the point that we can't live with them.
We've already done that.
But
so again, you bring in, like, for example, I got in front of me, according to the Customs Border Patrol, 52,000 children brought in 2014, nearly double than what was caught in 2013. Okay, so you bring them in. You bring them to Wyoming, and you make it Wyoming's problem now. So Wyoming's going to be spending the resources, and plus the government's spending the resources on that. And how long are you going to hold them? You're going to leave them there 5-10 years? Sooner or later, you're going to let them out, and they're going to be coming to our community?
First of all, you're not going to hold them anywhere. You're going to allow them the ability to make a living. You're going to allow them to make their own towns. You're going to allow them to do their own thing. You don't hold them. You don't put them in.
You're going to allow them to make their own towns.
Yeah.
So we're going to have more, foreign language towns going where the only people that thrive there are non-English speaking, and if you speak English, too damn bad. You're now a foreigner in your own damn country.
Well, sorry. You have this problem about doing
it. We should not have to give.
We should, too. This the whole country was built on foreigners. There is no American unless they're Indians, and we don't speak their language either.
We are a nation of laws, believe it or not.
No, we are.
Just by letting a bunch of people come through our border uninvited, unauthorized, illegally, and come in and change our culture, why in the hell should we allow that?
We're a nation of laws that we don't enforce. We're a nation of laws that we don't even acknowledge. We're a nation of laws that don't mean a damn thing.
Can't argue with.
Well, then we need to do something different.
We do need to do so. We need to hold, like the president and others, feet to the fire. They have let us down and created this problem by, like you said, not enforcing the laws.
But the problem is here now. We can't hold them to the fire. There's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing they can say there is something they can say. They can throw money at the thing and make it work. They do exactly like we say, build some places for them to stay temporarily until we can find a place to put them and find out how they want to do things and work with them. And then we can go and it's not just, I mentioned the one state, there's 20 states in the middle of the country that are lots and lots of places for people to go, and they don't have to build big communities or anything, but they just have to find a place to live, and we have to be there to help them at least while they're doing it.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to leave all those kids by themselves. You're going to bring the parents over to help them.
No.
Build their little communities, and they're going
to... Hey, look, if they were smart enough and they were good enough and they were adult enough to get here, they're adult enough to take care of themselves.
And if you really think that they all came by themselves without any aid from an adult.
Well, then we take that adult that aided them and take them with them or whatever. But, I mean, the way they came here, they got here, and they can continue to stay here that way.
Well, like I said, they managed to take the trip to get here. They can take the trip and go home.
But they're not going to do that.
No, not if we say, okay, you've made it all the way over here. You traveled thousands of miles to get into this country. Hi, congratulations. We're going to process you and send you to Wyoming.
Well, what are they going to do if we say, okay, congratulations, you made it here. We're going to send you back. They're just going to turn right around and come here again.
If they know that, you know, you keep coming over here, we're going to turn around and send you away. Sorry.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. That's stupid. We're going to send you away. We're going to send you right back to where you came from. That isn't accomplishing anything. They're going to come back again, and we're going to spend twice as much money on nothing. We've accomplished nothing. We've sent them back, and they've come back again. We sent them back again. All we've done is spend a lot of money on making the bus companies.
Okay. So what are you going to do if these 56,000 people come in with weapons?
They didn't.
No, I said, what are you going to do if they did? Because right now we can't handle it.
No ifs, no ifs. We're not working on ifs here.
No.
We're working on what happens.
Our borders are so porous right now that a bunch of kids can come into our country through the side door that nobody cares about because we won't take the effort to protect our own borders. What if these kids are 56,000 people in 1 year, which is a hell of an army, come over here armed and they say, okay, this is our country now.
Okay, wait a minute. You're ifing and you can't if because the reason they're here is they're poor. They're starving to death. They don't have money for guns. They are not going to come over here with guns and weapons. They're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. So consequently, it's a stupid thing to even consider.
A stupid thing to consider. We supplied guns to people over there. That's what Fast and Furious was all about. And look what happened with that.
Yeah, how many guns? That wasn't anywhere near enough.
No, it's not near enough for an invasion here. But the whole point is that we have a lot of enemies out there, and they're sitting back for one laughing at the soft invasion that's going on. And it doesn't take much for them to say, okay, we're going to plant these people because it would be really easy to sneak weapons in because our borders are so porous and have more sleeper cells like we used to be worried about, you know, the terrorists, remember them? You know, the sleeper cells in the United States and illegals that went and got, went and learned how to fly planes. So, you know, remember 9/11? You know?
You seem to think that we're going to sit back and do nothing about
what
it.
Doing?
Remember, we do have the largest military in the world, and we can do something with them if we decide to do.
Protect yourself from a bunch of kids coming through.
If they're armed, they're not, all of a sudden, they're not a bunch of kids. If they're armed, it's a different.
How many times in the news have you seen overseas where a GI is attacked by children?
I haven't seen it at all.
It happens.
Well,
it happens.
In your news, I.
If you're a kid, doesn't mean that you don't have ill intentions towards the people of the United States. Guns are easy to get here, for one thing. You don't have to carry a gun across the border to be an invader. In fact, all you have to do is just come here in large numbers and just say, okay.
Okay, what?
Okay, we're here. We're going to turn our country, your country, into our country.
That's what I'm saying. We need to do something about that. And sending them back is not the answer. We need to do something about that. We need to sit down and work on it and come up with an answer. We're too stupid at the moment to do that, but it's going to happen. We're going to have to think about it. It's not something that we're going to sit around and do nothing about, because sooner or later we're going to have to do something about it, and we're going to get rid of President Obama and get somebody in there who can think and maybe accomplish something. But
just that one idea I kind of agree with is that there's talk about taking away foreign aid to Mexico and other areas that can't control the people leaving their country. I say let's start off with that. Let's take away foreign aid. In fact, first of all, why are we even giving foreign aid to Mexico to begin with? You know, if you guys are allowing people to cross your borders into our country, if you're not going to take control of it, then we're not going to give you any more aid. That'd be a good start.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with taking the foreign aid that we've gotten and putting it to a good use and on our borders is the best use I can think of, and not serving on somebody else's border. That doesn't accomplish anything for us. It does maybe indirectly, but we need to worry about our own border first before we worry about that. But the thing is, we need to spend more money on the border patrol. I mean, we can call them border guards if we want to, but they can't really guard the border. They can't do anything about the border unless we give them authorization to shoot them, unless we give them authorization to kill them. And then we're going to have dead bodies everywhere. We can't do that. That's not the way the United States works. And so consequently, we've got to give them authorization to put them in a building and house them for a while until we decide what to do with them. And you don't stay there very long because you're not going to put a thousand a day in there. You're going to put maybe 10 a day or whatever, and they're going to rotate through. And so consequently, we've got to decide what to do with them, how to take care of them, and what to do. And it's going to cost us money, whether you like it or not. It's going to cost us money for the military to take care of them while they're there. It's cost us money to transport them to where we're going to transport them to. And it's going to cost us money for a while to give them the opportunity to do something while they're there. Otherwise, we're going to just drop them off and they're going to die. And that's not the way we do things.
646-721-9887, if you'd like to chime in on this, what's your opinion on it? And
we know that nobody has an opinion. Nobody has any solutions to this. Nobody has any idea what to do about this. You can call that number as long as you want, and you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, you can talk about it if you want to. If you think you have an idea about how to solve this problem, you go ahead and give that call, 646-721-9887. You're not going to accomplish crap. It's just not going to do. That you've got to simply work with the kids or the people when they come across the border and decide how to handle them.
Exactly. 646-721-9887. The U.S. opens up third military base to house illegal immigrants, this time in Arizona. I think Joe Arpaio should be running that one.
Well, I think he should be running a lot of things, but, I mean, it hasn't accomplished a thing. I mean, we've got too many states where the states that are on the border should not be involved in this more than they are. They're way too involved, and they're expected to keep giving and giving and giving. That's not necessarily so. It's not their responsibility. They're not the ones trying to do this. It's an invasion, like you say. And so consequently, we need to help them, and that's what we aren't doing.
Now, like you said, you know, you're going to come in, you're going to process them, then what are you going to do with them?
Well, then that's what we've got to decide, what we're going to do with them. Are we going to send them to Wyoming, or what are we going to do with them? I mean, any place. There's got to, you know, we've got hundreds and thousands of acres in the middle of this country, millions of acres in the middle of this country that are going wild, doing nothing. And the federal government owns most of them. Federal government needs to do something about it.
Send them to Russia.
Well, that could possibly accomplish something. I mean, first of all, Russia is not going to accept them. They're going to send them back again. Russia is too small a country at this point. I mean, Russia is not very big at all. It can't assimilate too many at all.
Well, it's not that we're that big either, but, I mean, yes, we do have some open borders or open land, but again, too, why, I'm going to get back to my original point, why is it our problem?
Because we're the ones stuck with it. We're the ones where they're coming here. We're the ones at the entry point. That's why we're stuck with it. That's why it's our problem. They're not coming into Russia. If they were coming into Russia, it could be their problem, but they're not. They're coming here. Like it or not, we're in the middle of the problem.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make any difference whether we like it. We've got to do something about it, and we're not doing anything about it. We're just sitting here hemming and hawing and whining and crying and doing nothing whatsoever. But that's not going to last forever. That's going to have to change because the numbers are increasing. The numbers are absolutely increasing because, you know, for a while it was okay, a few people on the border from Mexico hopped across the border and did something. Well, now we've got people coming in from South America, and they're coming in here. and we get people from all up and down. It's not going to stop. I mean, as long as there are people who are starving to death, and there are those, I should have looked up the countries of well-to-do countries that are on the borders of not well-to-do countries and see if they've got a problem with the same thing. I don't know exactly even how to look that up, but I'm going to before next week.
Yeah.
And we've got to figure out what they're going to do with it, what they want to do with them.
Well, there's already complaints. I'm reading this. It's from RT.com. Complaints that these people that are being housed in warehouse-like conditions are complaining because shower facilities are very rare and slim. The food isn't that great, and conditions aren't exactly that great. Well, again, too, it's just like, you know, to Katrina, you know, where they had to hold people up in a stadium. When you got that many people coming in, it's not like you can send everybody to a hotel and have their own room.
Okay, who's complaining?
The immigrants that are being housed in
They're not.
They're not.
No.
Then who's complaining?
We've got some American somewhere, some do-gooder somewhere that's complaining. It's somebody who just walked 2,000 miles, didn't take a bath at all, hardly even ever got anything to eat, is not going to complain because he only gets two showers a day and he isn't quite fed enough. That's not the person that's going to complain. That's the person that's in those places that you're talking about. It's Americans and people that are doing this that are complaining. The people that are involved and are living there are happy to be there. I mean, they're not going to want to stay there forever. We want to find a place to ship them out because we don't want them there forever. But we've got to, you know, I don't believe that it's the immigrants that are complaining. Not at all. They're going to be thankful they've got a place at all.
You would think.
Yeah.
You
would think. I just can't believe. See, all this do-gooder crap is our own people. It's Americans that are doing this. We're sitting around saying, oh, this can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do something else. That's just like the Americans are sitting around and saying, well, you can't make 5-year-olds work. You can't make 10-year-olds work. You know, hell, you can't. They can work just as good as anybody else. Some of them can't. Some of them are real dulces when it comes to that. Some of them will pick the wrong berry and they'll throw it in there and will not get any, you know, in some instances, efficiency is going to go down. But the thing is, the amount of people involved are going to bring the efficiency right back up again. The thing is, we're so absurd that we have to have rules that won't let people possibly get hurt. That's like you can't work at a sawmill or something when you're under 25 years old or something. They think that that's going to make you much less a possibility of chopping your finger off. Well, that's not the case. You know, kids don't want to chop their finger off anybody any more than anybody else does. I mean, we're just way overboard about who we're allowing to do what, and we're way overboard about our rules and regulations. We've got too many rules and regulations, and things have got to change. Something has got to change about all these rules and regulations and make them more legitimate.
More legitimate. Well, like I said, we can't house everybody. And, you know.
Well, you see, the thing is, I worked when I was younger. So did you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we did it and we made it through. We didn't kill ourselves. We didn't do anything wrong. We worked just as hard as most other people. I worked in a little different situation. I found things that I'd rather do. I didn't pick berries. I ran a theater for a while. And I ran the theater. I mean, oversight. The person who owned the theater gave me suggestions as to what to do. I didn't have to do them if I didn't want to, but he gave me suggestions as to what to do. And I ran a theater for 4 years and didn't have any problems at all. But I did other things too. But the thing is, I couldn't do that now. And that's absurd because kids are capable of doing that, regardless of whether we like it or not. You know, I understand, oh, let's let kids be kids. Let's let kids grow up and have fun and play and things like that. That, to me, was what I had fun doing. I didn't have to do it. Nobody made me do any of these things. I could have stood around and shot people with BB guns or cap pistols or whatever, and that could have been my life. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something that was accomplishing something.
Okay, I'm reading an article here that says that their goal is to have the undocumented children, especially from the ones that are, as they're calling OTMs, other than Mexicans, which cannot be sent back to their home countries. Instead, Customs and Border Patrol is to turn the undocumented children over to the Department of Health and Human Services within 72 hours. HHS will then hold them humanely until they can be released to a, quote, suitable family member in the U.S.
Well, there's an awful lot of them who don't have family members in the U.S. This idea of everybody who comes over here is coming over to get it together with their family, that's ridiculous. I would say 80% of them are coming over here on their own. I mean, when you're starving to death, you're not here, not coming over here looking to hook up with your family. You're coming over here to find a place to be able to eat and live and earn enough money to be able to not starve to death. That's their whole idea of why people are doing this is stupid. I mean, we've got to get some people in office that have some legitimate brains that they can use for a change.
Right. The article continues saying the child shall be promptly placed in a less restrictive setting that is in the best interest of the child, the law stipulates. They're talking about the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection and Reauthorization Act of 2008, or TPRA for short. And the placement of the child trafficking victim may include permanent or placement in the unoccupied or unaccompanied, refugee minor program if a suitable family member is not available to provide care. On Wednesday, White House officials confirmed that the administration is seeking to change the TVPRA by asking Congress for permission to treat Central American children the same way they treat Mexican children. This change would allow them to process and deport the unaccompanied minors more quickly and begin to empty out the three temporary federal holding facilities spread across the southwest of the country.
So they just want to spend the money in a different place. They want to spend the money on buses and on airplanes and such and send them back, because and then they'll come back here again and they'll return them again and become part of this round-robin thing. They're just spending the money in a different place. And it's a different place that's never gonna end. I mean, at this particular point, it's never gonna end anyway. And so, it just you're gonna spend more money sending them back to their own country because you're gonna feed them, you're gonna clothe them, everything on the way, and you're spending a lot more money. You're just throwing it away.
Well, you are, except. Maybe the advantage of all that is that these kids are going to get vaccinated and sent back home. Maybe that's the whole point.
I'm sure they really want to be vaccinated. That's just the whole thing they want to do. See, that doesn't accomplish a thing. Now, that's only the only thing that's good for us. You know, we've come up with these ideas. It isn't going to accomplish anything for these kids that are going back to their own country. That's stupid. That shouldn't even be considered.
Well, and maybe you're on the right track. You know, we should look at the root of the cause. You know, why are these children leaving? You know, we've stuck our nose in other countries before. You know, it's become our problem. Maybe we need to decide to step up and solve our problem. If we have to go stick our nose in other countries, we've done that before too.
Well, that would be a more logical move, as far as I'm concerned, than what we've been talking about so far, to go to these countries and find out why they're leaving.
Don't we have embassies in countries around the world?
Mostly.
Can we send these kids back to their country in that embassy for protection?
embassies aren't that big. You know, you send 20 kids back to the embassy and it's overflowing. I mean, embassies are not big places. Usually embassies are an office in a building. That's all it is. So you'd have to build compounds, and you'd be spending a huge amount of money. Anywhere you go, anywhere you look at it, you could do that, and you could spend that amount of money, and you could get them back there. And again, the idea is you're going to have to teach them how to get by on their own, how to live on their own, how to do things on their own, how to build things, how to do things, because until they get an education of how to exist, you're going to have them back again.
Then how, okay, I'm going to be real stupid here, so educate me. How did these people for generations from where they came from exist to this point if they didn't already know how to do it?
They died.
They died.
A lot of them died. And the simple fact is they just realized recently that they had the opportunity to do something by escaping and coming here. They didn't know they had that opportunity to do that until just recently. And so consequently, they didn't do it. And a lot of cases, they just simply died. The attrition rate in some of these countries is unbelievable. You know, kids didn't live to be past 14 for a lot of them. I mean, it's a huge thing. It's a problem, and it's a problem that we shouldn't have to be stuck with taking care of. But whether we should be or not, we are. And
yeah, we are.
So consequently, I think we should do a kind of a combination of things that you were talking about. One is we could go to Russia and enlist their help, go to any of these other countries, because there's a lot of countries that are doing much better than, or well, not much better than Russia, but as good as Russia and that are doing very well, and we should ask them to help and become a part of this problem. Because and if not, then we should eliminate any possible help that we give them, because it's ridiculous, like you say, to give foreign aid to a country and then not have them give anything back. That's ridiculous. We need, you know, there's a lot of places where these kids could be, I don't want to say shipped there, but that's what I mean.
Oh, like you said, that we have to come up with money somewhere. Well, here's a good place to start. You know, if a lot of them are coming from Mexico or Honduras or whoever, wherever, and we're given foreign aid, well, we have to pay for their problems. So, fine, we take away your money until you decide to deal with it, until you decide to do something about it.
That's all right, and that's okay. But then we should also take away Russia a significant amount of money if they won't help.
You got it completely off.
Well,
there's a lot of places anyways we shouldn't even be giving foreign aid to. But the point is that, you know, like I said, we can't, number one, we can't be the world police. We can't even take care of ourselves. And just like they say in the chat room here, and I agree with them, they're coming over here because basically Obama invited them into our house. And you can't imagine, I just can't imagine, you know, I can see maybe 5, 10, 15 people going, okay, yeah, let's send our kids over. But to have a huge community to go ahead and ship their kids overseas into a foreign country?
That isn't the case.
That's an organized event.
Obama didn't have anything to do with this.
What?
He didn't. I mean, there's nothing Obama can say. How would some kid in the jungles of Malaysia or something hear that Obama told him it was okay he could come here? That is not Obama's doing. There may be a few of them, but very few of them.
How the kid in the jungles of Malaysia or whatever decide in a large group to come here at once?
He didn't. It's not a large group from any specific place. It's only a large group at the border of the United States. At our border, it's a large group. But they're coming from all over the place, countries. And
all of a sudden, just all of a sudden, everybody at once decide to, I think we should go over to the U.S. They're not shipping people out anymore. The word came by carrier pigeon.
Well, I do believe that they're getting information about that, but then I don't think Obama had anything to do with it. Obama doesn't have that much power. And if that's the case, they better get here damn quick, because Obama's got short-lived time to be here.
He's got another 2 years left to do whatever damage he's going to do.
Well,
and whatever our Congress and everybody else is not going to do in his absence.
Well, it takes you more than a day to walk from South America to the border.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not something that these kids are doing overnight, and they're liable to get here too late. But the thing is, they can't get here too late. We've got to figure out something to do for them and with them. And as to what to do, that's what we should be worrying about, rather than worrying about why they're here or who allowed them to come and that sort of thing. We've got to figure out what to do with them.
Well, one of the first things we got to do is, number one, we got to secure our border before we do anything.
Can't secure that border. You cannot do it. You simply cannot do it. It can't be done.
Do you think you can secure your own home? Somebody wants in your home to take your big TV set. Somebody's going to do it.
No.
You're just going to let them do it?
I can't do that either. Not really.
Why?
Not unless I'm ready to kill somebody.
That's the point. What's the difference? They're going to come into your house, even though you may have a cop arrest, and they'll go to jail. They'll get out a day later. They're going to come back into your house again. What are you going to do about it?
There's nothing you can do.
So you're going to let them come into the TV and do whatever they want to do, and you're okay with that?
No, I'm not. We are a community of laws, and consequently I'm going to live by the laws, and consequently I'm going to allow the law to take care of it. In this particular case, the law is at the border. We can't extend our laws to go to Mexico or to...
What does it do to extend our laws? Like you just said, your own words, we cannot protect the border, so there's nothing we can do about it.
That's right. That's why we have to do something about it after they've crossed over and are in this country. That's why we have to build what you want to call them, houses or jails or whatever you want to call them, to keep them in and then decide how to work with them and what to do with them. You can't just shoot them.
Okay, so the poor burglar, he comes into your house, he has no food, he has no money, he sees you got shelter, he wants to come into your home and share your house with you, whether you want him there or not, and you're just going to allow him.
Nope. We've got laws here, and I can send him to jail, I can send him to...
Okay, he goes to jail, he's going to come right back as soon as he gets out.
Not necessarily. He's not going to come right back. First of all, we don't have that many people in this country that are that off. I mean, we do have a lot of people that are in trouble and don't have what they want to have. But the thing is, we are a land of laws. We are a country of laws and rules and regulations. The places that these people are coming from are not. And they've already decided at this particular point they're not going to live by those rules and regulations. So we've got to meet them at the border, and we've got to once again assert assert what happens to them once they come into this country. There we have a possibility of asserting laws, but we can't.
It's against law to break into your home, but somebody may decide to do it anyway. They may decide to keep coming back. That's not unheard of. You can arrest them 100 times if you want to, but as soon as you release them, they're going to come right back into your home. They don't care about the law. They don't care if it's illegal. Until you decide to put up better defenses on your house to keep them out and decide that you want to defend your home, they're going to keep coming back.
It is against the law to defend your home. You can't meet them at the door with a shotgun. That's against the law.
No, you can't meet them at the door with a shotgun, but if they're in your home, you have the right...
You can't meet them in your home. You can't shoot them in your home either. It is against the law.
You better look that one up.
No, I have looked it up, and it is true. I mean, you just can't...
If somebody's in your home and you feel your life is in danger, you have the right to defend yourself and to shoot them inside your home.
That's not true.
I'll disagree with you on that.
Okay. But the thing is, once they're in there, and let's say you've sent somebody in there and you've shot someone once, you're not going to get away with a second time or a third time.
They're not going to come back a second or a third time. In fact, they might...
Well, you just said they were.
The word might... If you shoot them, no, they're not going to come back. Unless they're that stupid. You get out that you go invade Cliff's house and you're going to get shot. People may think about your neighbor's house instead of your house. I'm not saying, I'm not advocating for us to start shooting on these people, but I'm also saying, too, that we cannot just not defend ourselves in our own nation when we're being invaded.
I don't consider the example legitimate. That it's not at all the same.
This is not an invasion.
Well, this is an invasion, but coming into my home is not. I mean, I'm not going to have dozens of people keep coming into my home and invading my home. It's not going to happen. The first time it happens to this person, they're going to go to jail for a short period of time. The second time, they're going to go to jail for a long period of time. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's just not an equivalent at all.
Okay, but how is that different than the current laws on the books? You come into our country illegally, it's a misdemeanor, which I think that should be changed. It should be a felony. You're deported, you come back, it's a felony. And with that, you have the laws that go along with the felony, but unfortunately, we are still releasing people that have come back three or four times because we don't enforce the law.
That's right. That's the point. We don't enforce the law. We don't enforce the laws that we have, let alone putting together laws that are legitimate and logical for what the problem is. And we haven't addressed that either. Our laws do not fix the problem. They do not even address the problem. I mean, this is something we've not had a problem with before. This is something we've not had to worry about before. And you think that we're not going to have trouble people coming in from the other side, from Canada? It's going to happen. You watch. It's going to happen. And we're going to have trouble up there, too. But it's just going to wait a while. And maybe we'll have enough smarts who have put together laws that we can enforce on the southern border by the time we get around to the northern border. And we've already got people coming in from the sides because we've got people going out in boats and coming in.
Well, I'm surprised we don't have a lot of people coming in from Canada because it's cold as hell up there.
No, it's not. It's not at all cold. You haven't been to Canada, obviously.
No, I've been in Dakota. That's close enough.
Oh, that's not even close. That's a completely different story. It's not. Canada is. I've been to Canada 1,000 times, and Vancouver is nothing. It's just like Seattle. It's not no different at all. And you go up north, further north, and it's not much different than that. You get into Alaska for heaven's sakes. I've lived in Alaska too, and it's not that cold in Alaska.
Right.
So it gets that cold maybe for a couple months out of the year, but it's not an impossible place to live. It's not what you're thinking it is. It's not an impossible place to live where we wouldn't have people living there.
Anyway, 12 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to chime in on this, we've got a lot of chatting going on in the chat room. Welcome. And
well, the hell with your chatting in the chat room. Call us and make an appointment to give us a call and talk to us because you're not accomplishing anything by chatting in the chat room. I'd very much like to see you there, but I'd also like to see a call and have the guts to do something.
That's right. 646-721-9887. Get your opinion on this and what we should do about it. And part of the first things we should do is, I think, that for one, we have the I got a phone and a pen is part of the problem. The fact that our Congress won't enforce the laws are is so lame that they're not enforcing the Constitution when we have a president that can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, where are these guys? Where is Congress? I mean, I get tired of hearing the Democrat-Republican argument. Oh, the Republicans are la, 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 la. It's like, well, you don't hear the, except for Nancy Pelosi's and Harry Reid's and whatever, you know, they're all in favor. Let anybody in.
Well, the thing is, you can't make laws to handle this problem. You've got to get over there and do something with it. You've got to either shoot them and have it over with, and since we're not a country that wants to do that and shoot people, we're going to have to meet them at the border and make arrangements to decide how to handle it and decide to do it somewhat legitimately. I mean, there's lots of places in this country. I mean, we're talking about, you're talking about 50,000 people coming in. Over a period of 5 years, we're talking about maybe 150, 200,000 people that have come across the border. What?
In what period of time?
5 years.
They're talking about 130,000 within the year.
Okay, so it's 130,000 a year. Let's go 5 years and go 500,000 people. 500,000 people is not that many. And there's lots and lots and lots of places in the middle of this country to put them.
We've already got 11 to 20 million already that are not authorized to be here.
That's
another half a million in their families.
Well, this
it's got to stop somewhere.
It's not going to stop. It's simply not going to stop. Like it or not, it's not going to stop. These people are desperate, and they're going to come here as long as they're desperate. So unless we get off our dead ass and go down there and do something to change their country, to make living possible there, they're not going to stop. Stuck with it. And like it or not. Now, it's granted people have times have changed, and people, you're right, information travels much faster than it did before and much more complete than it did before. And people learn things, and they learn about what, you know, other groups have made it to the United States and gotten in. I mean, things are changing as far as people are learning. People are learning in their country, and people are learning in our country. But we're not learning what to do with the people from their country, and that's the thing that we're stupid about. We've got to wake up and learn to accomplish something and make the world a little bit different. And we're not just doing it. We're just sitting here letting it happen.
Should we impeach the president?
Oh, that's been a foregone conclusion. He should have been impeached before he made it to a second session. Yeah. You know, he's one of the major problems. But the thing is, it's going to have to be somebody sit down and think about this and think about it logically and decide what to do with the people that are coming across. And sending them back or stick them in big prisons, that's not an answer. Either one of those is not even close to an answer.
Well, and that's exactly what the issue is that until you stop the leak, as they say, until you stop the influx, you're going to have, as you said, you're going to have, you know, tons of people coming over here. You're going to have to do something with them. And we only have so much space. We only have so many facilities. I mean, yes, we do have a lot of military installations that we've closed down over the years. But who knows how many they can house and for how long. And then what are you going to do with them after that?
Well, let's face it. It's not something that we'd have to do all by ourselves. I mean, I talked about this. We can have Russia and all these other countries. They can help us out.
Why should it be their problem? It's our problem now.
Because as soon as it's not our problem anymore, it's going to be theirs.
How's it going to be their problem? They're coming over here and making it our problem. They don't have to take them.
Well, they're going to have to take them because
Right. The
thing is, Russia's...
They'll actually stand out there with their military and saying, you ain't coming across our borders.
And you think they'd get away with that? No.
Russia can get away with anything Russia wants to get away with.
Russia's not going to get away with that. Russia is part of the world, the world of order, and people in the world don't think that way anymore. And if they start making it all out war, then we can make it an all out war, and it's just going to be. It could end up that it could be an all out war, but I don't think it's going to. We're going to work out a way to handle it before it is an all out war, because that's the next thing is. We're going to have to shoot all these people.
Well, I'm not going to say yes or no on that, but I will say, you know, I'd say it's become our problem, not these countries that are sending their kids to us. You know, they don't care. If they cared, they would have done something to keep their citizens there. Some of them, like Mexico, for example, they enjoy the fact that they have their citizens over here. They're sending money back to the people back home in Mexico. It's helping their economy.
Well, that's the thing. It is happening that they're sending money back home. And so that's why, you know, this whole business, you say, you know, you call it slave labor and we do something to for them. No, it's not. We can change that law or rule or whatever you want to do anytime, any place. We can make it so that they can come over here, they can work, and they can send part of the money back home, and they can change their economy, not ours.
Well, our economy is being changed.
That's like, right.
It's becoming our problem. We're spending lots of money on this. Sooner or later, like you say, well, we can't send them home. We're going to have to do something with them. You know, Wyoming's not going to want them. Arizona doesn't want them.
Well, it's not a matter of whether they want them or not. But, you know, the simple fact is neither does Texas want them or California want them, and they got them. So, you know, like it or not, they're going to get them. The point is that we've got to figure out what to do and how to do it that's somewhat humane. And if it doesn't turn out to be humane, then we're going to change our laws to the point that we can shoot them when they come across the border.
That'll never happen.
Yes, it will.
No, I seriously doubt it, because like you say, the bleeding hearts and whatever, and we're more concerned, like some of the small groups that are getting, it's the children.
But it'll be considered a war soon. It's that big.
I doubt it.
Yeah, it will.
No. So like I said, until Americans start standing up more and saying enough is enough, right now all you have to do is throw on a football game and that's all they care about. It's in their face. And this is why we have the problem, because we're letting the government do what they want to do. We're not holding our representatives to the fire, not demanding the impeachment, not demanding that they follow the law. Hell, we got IRS people that are, you know, four IRS people that are saying that, oh, our hard drives crashed, and we're not doing anything about that either. We're just kind of going along with that. You know, we don't care until it's in our face. It's just the way Americans are.
Well, that's the point. It's going to be in our face. I mean, when you've got 50,000, 60,000, or even 500,000 over a period of time, that's just so much. But it's not going to stop. It's not going to go away. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and it's going to be in our face, and we're going to do something about it.
Right. Until you can take away the carrot, for one.
Well, that's the other thing. Is we've got to learn to start employing our laws. We've got laws upon laws upon laws that we're not paying any attention to. We're not bothering to do anything about. We're not bothering to change laws about who can work where and why, and having people go out and enforce them. You know, we have a law that says you can't work there unless you have a citizenship or a gold card or whatever the hell you have. But nobody does anything about it. Nobody goes out and looks into it. Nobody cares. Nobody sends cops out for it. We don't have police to go out and check out citizenship, and we should.
Or the fact that Social Security number you gave on your I-9 form, which is your immigration form that says you have the right to work in the United States, is the fact that it's somebody else's Social Security number.
Yeah, it was mine.
Yeah?
And that's the thing is,
I've had one too, so.
You say we don't, you know, a lot of people get upset at saying we need a national ID. Yes, we do.
We have.
No, we don't.
Security number.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
It's given to you at birth.
It says right on that Social Security card, not to be used for identification.
Why, if that's the case, then why are you, as soon as you're born, you get a Social Security number. If that's not supposed to be ID or national number, then why is, because it used to be until you decided to work, where you had to get a work permit, you didn't need to worry about a Social Security number. Now you get one as soon as you're born.
Well, neither here nor there. The point is it isn't supposed to be used for that. And the thing is, we're going to need an actual national ID card and do something about all this. In other words, we need to work first before we worry too much about our rules and regulations at the border. We first need to start working on our rules and regulations all over the country, and we haven't bothered to do that. And so we've got so much to do. That's why this whole problem is so immense. It's because it's so immense. There's so many things that we aren't doing that we're going to have to, somewhere along the line, start thinking about following the law. Laws that we have made.
We're
still ignored.
We're
sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.